And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day? Without your sweet inspiration,
night at 7 p.m. on the Left Coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. Like I tell you every week, if you want to do so, interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. You can follow me at Tammy J. That's T-A-M-I-J. Shortest name on Twitter, I think, or close to. So you might as well follow me, right? My guest, my first guest tonight is Sam Carpenter. Really excited about this. Sam Carpenter is a Republican conservative candidate for governor in my home state of Oregon. Sam is a multi-business owner from Bend, Oregon, with a specialty in hands-on repair of struggling companies. He's also an author, a philanthropist, and especially a believer in the sovereignty of America, of Oregon, and of the individual. Sam Carpenter, thanks for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Wow, great introduction, Tammy. Thank you.
Hey, you're living in my hometown of beautiful Bend, Oregon. For everybody listening, if you haven't been to Oregon, that's in the center of the state. It's high desert country, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
It tends to be dry here. And it tends to be warm, and the summer evenings are cool. The summer days are hot, and you wake up in the morning and it's 45 degrees out there in July or August. It's a wonderful place to live.
It is. Now, you didn't start out there. We'll give people a little bit of your background, although I am encouraging everybody. I have your website linked on the show page. It's the MakeOregonGreatAgain.com website. It's linked after the show. Everybody needs to go there. Check it all out. But you started out in New York, upstate New York. And by the way, I lived in Syracuse for a couple years. Dad, once he got his degrees at Oregon State, was a prof at Syracuse for a couple years.
Really? Syracuse, too? Yeah, we were 80 miles north and east of there up in the Adirondacks. Upstate New York is way different than New York.
Right.
It's very rural and very beautiful, as you recall.
Yes, yes, it is. And so you made your way to Oregon. My dad called it the promised land for the Gentiles. It was a joke, but he said, don't tell that to people. More will come here. Well, word's out. They're already coming here, which has contributed to the problem we have now, because a lot of people have come from parts very, very liberal and brought their worldviews with them. Sam, when your campaign policy analyst contacted me about having you on the show, I quickly went to the website. I checked your stance on the issues. I watched your video, which I also have on the show page to make it easy, but people can see it on your website or on the show page. And I responded back immediately with an enthusiastic yes. So in the time we have, I'd like for the listeners to get to know you and your vision and, in fact, where you stand on very important issues. I talk a lot about worldview on this show. It's important that each of us know what we believe, why we believe it. Worldview is the lens through which we see the world. At the top of the issues page on the Sam Carpenter for Governor website, which is MakeOregonGreatAgain.com, you write under America Ruling Class, Country Class, this issue is about who is to control America. Will it be a small contingent of social engineers who feel that they are better equipped to manage our lives than we are because they feel we are not intellectually and socially capable of doing it ourselves? or you and me, as our American founding documents so clearly spelled out. Sam Carpenter, that's the essential difference between the progressives or socialists and the conservatives.
Precisely, and it's so important that we don't badmouth, I use the term badmouth, quote unquote, Democrats, because there's a lot of good Democrats out there. Oh, let me explain. In the Democrat Party in Oregon, there's 38% of the voting population, they're Democrats. But a small minority of them are what we call progressive far left. They're ruling the party, and they're speaking for the entire party. And I'm telling you, I'm here to tell the audience that they are misspeaking for a lot of Democrats. And if we're going to win in November, we need to welcome Democrats to come vote. They don't need to turn into Republicans, and they don't have to be pro-life. They don't have to do all the things we think they should do. But we got to stop calling them names and give them a place to come home, because there are a lot of hard hat, blue-collar Democrats out there who really, really don't like the far-left leadership and really, really like Donald Trump. I used to be a Democrat, a hard hat Democrat, and I ran union crews, and I did all kinds of manual labor. I'm an author now and a CEO, but my roots go back, and I feel very comfortable meeting union guys and talking to them. I'm telling you, if we would stop calling them names and stop asking them why they're not sensible enough, they will come over in November, and I am very confident in November we're going to take the House and the Senate back, as well as the governor's seat, if we'll stop making these fundamental mistakes. It is the progressive far left that's out of their minds. They really are.
They certainly absolutely are. And people should know that the socialist believes that the people need to be managed by an enlightened few. But conservatives, common sense people, believe that this constitutional republic, and no, it's not a democracy, is ruled by we the people, that elected officials should really be public servants. I know what you're talking about, Sam Carpenter. I was born in Salem. I was raised in a few different places. We were in Corvallis while Dad was going to school. Summers at my cousins and grandparents' farms up in the hills of Silverton, the grass seed farmers there. But for the most part, I was raised in Bend, Oregon. So I am an Oregon native. I have seen the change from a solidly red state, even though there were a lot of Democrats, but there was not that much of a difference between our viewpoints on a lot of things. Now, as you say, we've got Multnomah County and to a lesser extent, Lane County, which is where Eugene University of Oregon is, that ruled the state. But Multnomah is Portland, Oregon, and it is very dense population, and it is very far left. There's a big communist organization up there. There's all kinds of stuff going on up there. It's lunacy. But if you go out in the state, Sam Carpenter, you find people that may or may not even identify politically. But if you start talking to them about issues and principles, they believe they will side with you all day long. And you talk to them about so many things you've got on your website. So let's run down a few of the things that you've got on the website, a few of the issues. What is your take on Donald Trump?
My website is makeoregongreatagain.com. I've met the guy. I stand behind the man. I stand behind all the decisions he's making. And that comes from this. I am a CEO in my heart. I get things done. You get around the barriers. You go over the barriers. You just get the job done. And you play by the rules. And this is Donald Trump. And just watching what he's doing, doesn't matter how many mudslings he's getting. He's just getting the job done he said he would get done. I fully support Donald Trump. By the way, Tammy, I was the only candidate, statewide or otherwise, in 2016. When I ran for U.S. Senate, I lost a little bit by a little bit in the primary. I was the only candidate who endorsed the man publicly. And so I stand by him. He's doing the right thing. I can't imagine how good things will be in this country in another 10 months when election time comes.
Yes, indeed. And Sam Carpenter, what is your take on education?
Well, everybody knows that it's horribly run. And I'm a mechanical guy, and I've written a couple of books on it, and I have a business where we repair businesses. And you go what I call, Tammy, a layer deeper to find out what the problem is. And, oh, we could throw more money at it, or we could change, you know, people in the hierarchy, and we could have a new governor. What needs to happen is a mechanical change, and that is school choice. And that includes charter schools and homeschooling and everything. We need competition. We need competition in our schools like everywhere else. And I could tell you a quick story here. We were buying a car today, and the guy who was closing the deal, won't mention any names, said, I wonder if we could ever really get single payer. And I said, what? This is a car dealership. You've got competitors down the road. The reason the prices are low is competition, the shirt you have on. Everything in our lives is competition. Why shouldn't the schools be competing with each other? And you can go into the healthcare thing and everything too. But the secret here, to button this up, is that we need school choice and everything associated with it, and there needs to be competition. And if you want to send your kid to an equine school, send them. If you want to send your kid to a skiing school, send them. If you want to send them to a Ivy League Blue Blood preparatory school, send them. Why shouldn't we have a choice? Why is it up to the government to decide where we send our kids? That's lunacy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I have cousins that are grown now that were homeschooled, and they have a fantastic education. They are extremely successful as adults. And not only that, they are darn good people because they fostered great, great principles in those four cousins of mine. And I have three nephews that were homeschooled for a number of years, now are in private classical Christian schools. I am a person that has really seen firsthand. I've worked with a lot of homeschoolers and spoken to some groups of them at our state capitol, Sam, and I love those kids. So I'm telling you, kids are no better or worse than they were 100 years ago. What is different is our society and what they're trying to do with them in the schools. I tend to think that the expectations of the avant-garde elitist educators, I think their expectations are too low. I think we ought to set the bar high for kids.
Exactly. And their expectations of us are really low. And we all know it. We conservatives know it. They think they're intellectually, spiritually, morally superior to us. And how could we possibly be qualified to raise our kids and teach them? How could we don't have the certifications? We don't have the OKs. Oh, there's so much that people are coming. You know, and the other thing is, Tammy, I'm so positive about this next election because this red wave is going right across America. We have 26 red trifectas. Government's completely run by Republicans. There's seven blue. 70% of our governors are Republican. 70% of our legislatures, House and Senate, are Republican. And we have felt that this is such a blue state and what's never going to happen, and that's just wrong. There's only a 10% difference between Republicans and Democrats, and the independents are going our way, and it has to do with school choice. It has to do with all this stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm agreeing with you 100%, Sam. Now, let's talk about the forest, which is very, very important to Oregon. This is near and dear to my heart, as it is to yours. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure, and your dad was involved, and I worked for the Forest Service, too. Your dad was a forester. I was a forest technician. I was a surveyor back in the 70s. And here's the thing. The forests have been neglected just like PERS has been neglected. I always bring up the two together, completely different from each other. But what happened is the government created these situations and decided to make some big, bold move, which involved non-management. Non-management of PERS, non-management of the forests. The forests have been neglected for 40 years, pushing 40 years. There is so much undergrowth to catch fire. That's what's happening. You cannot stop it. They don't do this in Europe. You know, Europe, you go into any forest in Germany, there's nothing on the ground. It's all gone. They don't have fires over there. And in the southern United States, it's the same thing. But up here in the west and the east forests, they're so different from each other, but it's essentially the same thing. You've got to clean them up. You've got to mechanically clean them up. You've got to do some logging. You've got to do some harvesting. And it's not the end of the world. It's not going to look like the moon when you're done.
Yes, exactly. My dad used to tell people, you have to understand that this is a crop. It's a very large, slow-growing crop, but that's exactly what it is. It's beautiful. But he also used to show me pictures of our forests back in the 20s and 30s, and you could drive through them, and all of the old growth, for instance, the Ponderosa forests, the trees had fire scars on them, and there were a lot of natural forest fires that cleaned up the slash. It got rid of the pest infestations, and it made the trees more hardy. And now, all these years later, we've put out every fire. We've not managed them. We've got all this slash and undergrowth, and it's just waiting to take off. And, that's something that I'm very, very informed about. And so I was excited when I knew you had that in your background. Let's talk a little bit about the free market. What your thoughts on that, Sam?
Well, as I was discussing with you before, Tammy, it's competition. And I'm sorry to say this, but it is kind of survival of the fittest. Make something for me, and if you make it better than the next guy, I'm going to buy it from you. That's how quality goes up. That's how prices go down. That's fundamental to America. That is capitalism, and it is not a bad thing. And as soon as the government gets into health care, look what we get. Right. As soon as the government gets into anything, and we have so many of these rogue agencies that need to be tended to and chopped back in the state government, energy, agriculture, state lands, environmental quality, they're getting into the middle of free enterprise. And no wonder businesses are struggling. No wonder there's no jobs. The government is sucking it all up and putting a noose around the neck of capitalism.
And here's
something. Let me just mention this. So President Obama had $1 trillion stimulus. Oh, he borrowed that money and printed that money, by the way. Apple is putting $600 billion into the economy. No borrowing money, no printing money. It's real money coming in from Europe. Can you imagine what that's going to do? That is a stimulus, not a game. All the countries all over the United States that are going to invest in this country, I'm so excited about what the future holds as things get going and the government gets out of the way.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about.
Yep. Trump has been slashing regulation. Of course, the media won't tell everybody about it. But I hear things every once in a while. I'll hear my friend Ryan Zinke talking about something they're doing. And I'm just so thrilled. But if people aren't listening a whole lot, this is my job. I write, I edit, I do news, politics, you name it. So I'm watching this stuff like crazy and seeing what he's doing. We need to do that in Oregon. This is not a business-friendly state right now. I know a lot of people that have taken their businesses out of Oregon to places like Vancouver. It's sad, but that has happened. So we need somebody like you, Sam Carpenter, that will help the economy. Let's talk about guns and the Second Amendment. What is your standing on that, Sam Carpenter?
Well, it's been written what it is. We can, we've been over this so many times. We have the right to bear arms, and that is a very unique thing to America, and you don't see it around the world. I have some business associates that came over from Italy and Romania and showed them a gun, and they backed up 2 or 3 feet when I pulled it out and showed them. And the rifle really scared the heck out of them. I mean, all over the world, you don't have the right. And I talk to them and let them know, you know, what the deal is and say, oh, yeah, we have the right to protect ourselves. And, of course, the original protection was against the English.
Yeah,
right?
Tyranny.
But, so my position is that the thing has been written. That's what we need to go by. and there's no reason to throttle it back. And that's never going to happen, I don't think, is ever going to happen in my lifetime or your lifetime. I think we're okay, especially with this kind of conservative tide that's crossing the country right now.
I agree with you, and I tell you, the whole thing with guns and what they've been trying to do, the current governor and the liberals down in the state capitol, what they've been trying to do with anti-gun legislation in the state of Oregon is one more thing that is pushing people in a more conservative direction, Sam, because we've got a lot of people in this state who are hunters, fishermen, outdoorsmen, etc., and owning guns, whether it's for hunting, for the protection of your family, what have you, even though, as you said, the original intent of the Second Amendment is absolutely as a guarantee against tyranny. But that's so ingrained in Oregon, the idea that we should be able to have firearms, that as they're pushing us on that, I think it's waking people up. I really do.
I get a lot of comments on Facebook, Tammy, on the Second Amendment and from hunters and fishermen about the throttling of the fish and wildlife within the state. This just needs to stop, and we need to get the government smaller, get it leaner, and stop putting a noose around the American people's necks, both business and personal.
Yep, absolutely. Now let's talk about immigration, because Oregon and the governor and the liberals in their infinite wisdom have decided we should be a sanctuary state. What do you think about immigration and ICE? Really illegal immigration. How should we handle this?
Well, Oregonians for Immigration Reform has IP-22 coming up, which would give our police power to arrest aliens especially who have committed crimes, and they have to go. Of course they do. Of course they do. Somebody's in this country illegally and they commit a crime. Of course they need to be deported. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about this anymore with anybody out there. You know, and that's what we do. We get caught up with the far left. We're trying to be reasonable with them, trying to cross the aisle and meet halfway. We're done with that. We've been doing it for 30 years, and immigration is the number one issue in Oregon. I've done 4 polls on it right now. It is the number one issue. But I just happen to believe, as most Oregonians do, that this is ludicrous. We don't have to give a good reason except that they're illegal. They need to go back to wherever they came from, and that's it. And you can call me a bigot if you want. My 2 kids are half Puerto Rican. That's going to be pretty difficult.
Well,
you know, it's a very simple thing, as most solutions are very simple things.
Yep. And I was glad to see that on your website, which once again, everybody is linked at the show page, on the website, you've got a link to the Bill Clinton speech that he gave that was anti-illegal immigration. It is fabulous. Everybody ought to listen to it, because and as a friend of ours said, what Trump ought to do is have that video be everywhere as an ad on TV, and at the end say, "My name is Donald Trump, and I approve this ad." That would be splendid.
It's ludicrous. It's got to the point of ludicrous with most of the arguments. And we just need to say, look, we're not talking to you anymore about this. We're moving ahead over here. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to meet you halfway. We're not going to apologize. We're not even going to be reasonable with you. You have had 30 years to figure this out and see if it would work and prove if it would work, and you failed. Now, you're going over in a corner, and the adults are taking over, the House, the Senate, and the governor's chair, and we're going to get this state straightened out very quickly.
Yep. It's the adults being in charge. You have to make some of the hard decisions. And I'm the granddaughter of legal Norwegian immigrants. They did it the hard way. They came over here with nothing. They worked hard. They did it the right way and lived the American dream. I believe in immigration 100% as long as it is legal. And I'll tell you, Sam Carpenter, the people that are the harshest on illegal immigration tend to be the legal immigrants that have come here and did it all the right way because they believed in America. They loved America, the rule of law, and even the English language. Boom. Let's talk about life. What is your stance on life?
Pro-life from conception. That's it.
That's it.
That's good. And I will have to support the laws as a governor, or you have chaos.
Right.
But my personal position is I'm pro-life from conception. And that's kind of funny. I think that's one of the shortest issue statements I have on my page. I don't know how to elaborate on that.
Right. And what's interesting is I've got an article coming out in a couple of days about the snowflake kids, which is really interesting. And I get into the whole life issue. I've written a lot on this, a lot on Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger and all that. So it's mm-hmm. right in my bailiwick. And I just feel like there seems to be a pro-life movement, just like we're talking about the red trifecta. I see more and more young people that are now growing up and they are espousing a pro-life worldview, and I love it. I think it's important, and I think it would be a great, great thing in this nation. And we know that they just voted in D.C. for the act that if the child is born alive after an abortion, they can save that child as opposed to just letting it die. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. There are movements toward a culture of life, and I love that. Let's get on to some more topics. I think I'm going to skip the break tonight because this is all so great. We don't have much time left. If you're just joining the show, Sam Carpenter is the Republican conservative candidate for governor in my home state of Oregon. He's a multi-business owner from Bend, Oregon, with a specialty in hands-on repair of struggling companies. He's an author, philanthropist, believer in the sovereignty of America, Oregon, and the individual. We're going through a list of issues. We've just got a couple minutes left. What do you think about small business, and especially as that relates to tax reform?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I've had the same small business here in Bend for 34 years now. 48 employees, 44 of them are women. Can't call me a misogynist. So we had a law where I fixed up our parking lot for $100,000+, and I could get the tax break back on that with a depreciation life of 39 years. 39 years, I will be dead. I'm going to invest after-tax money into my building. I don't want to. So now you can write off 100% in the same year. Oh, my gosh. And we're putting in $100,000 HVAC system into our building, and I can write the whole thing off this year. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. That's
yeah.
a 50% discount.
Yep.
So this, I'm telling you, Tammy, you're going to see the economy go to the moon in the next few months. It's going to be amazing.
Wow. There are so many more issues we could cover. Once again, everybody on the show page, the site for Sam Carpenter for governor, the Make Oregon Great Again site is linked. You need to go check it out. You need to check out everything he stands for. And by the way, I think I saw a donation tab on that website. So don't ignore that.
Yes, you do. Hey, you should check out the Facebook page. We're hitting 60,000 likes tonight sometime.
Fantastic.
And that's Sam Carpenter for Oregon. Sam Carpenter for Oregon. Go there and like the page. There's
yes.
a lot of good information there.
Absolutely. Oregon desperately needs a governor who will make Oregon great again. It's been terrific to make your acquaintance, Sam Carpenter. Let me know how I can help you, your campaign effort.
Thank you, Tammy. You're a wonderful host, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll have you on again and hope for a big-time win.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from rentacomputer.com can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and copiers. So if you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients, both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through my show here on the 405, and now I'm joined by my guest, Elizabeth Johnston. Elizabeth, also known as the Activist Mommy, is an activist vlogger. That's, in case you're wondering, that's blogger, but with videos, who educates and inspires the public on the burning social and moral issues of the day that are important to families and patriots. She and her husband, Patrick, who is a medical doctor, author, and movie producer, have been pro-life ministry leaders for many years and home educate their 10 children. Elizabeth Johnston daily triggers the left. Triggers, I love it. By confronting the lies of abortion, feminism, Islam, and the homosexual agenda with wit and snark like only she can. She regularly posts viral commentary videos, which have netted, hold on to your hats, over 70 million views. Elizabeth Johnston, a.k.a. Activist Mommy, thanks for taking time to be on the show tonight.
It's an honor, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
Wow. Well, first of all, you have 10 children. I was asking you about that during the break. How in the world did you get into creating these videos?
Well, you know, I was at Target protesting when they opened up their bathroom, their bathrooms to, you know, whatever sex you identify as.
Yes.
And actually, a friend of mine who is a minister of the gospel saw me interacting with the press outside of Target, and he said, Elizabeth, you need to film a video on this. You need to speak to this issue, and let's just hope that it goes viral. And I got to thinking about what he said, and I just had this idea of the Activist Mommy. And I looked and could not believe that the name was available for a Facebook page. And I created the page and I filmed this, you know, little 3-minute video. This is just a year and a half ago. And I've got 500,000 followers now in just a year and a half. It's been a wild ride, let me tell you. But that was my first video, and I just kept putting out videos and kept pushing content. And the first video that went really viral was actually a year ago, almost today, and that was the Women's March video that I did a year ago, and it hit 12 million views. And that was kind of the beginning of just a crazy year that my family has had. It's
wow.
An honor. It's been amazing.
You know, I had another friend on. I've had him on a couple times, Pastor Greg Locke, who does great videos. Mm-hmm. And he did the same thing. He just felt like he couldn't hold it in anymore. He had to say something and do some commentary. And it went viral just like yours do. And I think the thing is, you take a person that's convicted and tells the truth, and it resonates with people, because so many of us are thinking what you're saying, and that, which is probably why I do my little show here, because I couldn't take it anymore. And
right.
And that's what you're doing. Right. I love it. You're speaking truth.
Thank you so much. It is so worth all of the hate and pushback that I receive when I receive so many encouraging messages every day saying, you know, thank you for helping me find my voice. You know, because I've seen how bold you're able to be, I have found courage, and I'm going to my city council, and I'm, you know, going to my pastor about this issue, and I am, you know, ministering in the community in this way. And it is just so exciting to be a part of this. It's shown me over the last year and a half just what a dearth there is amongst God's people of just bold, courageous truth-telling, willing to say the things that God's Word says on the burning social issues of the day that so many fear saying. And the truth is, we just fear man more than we fear God in the church today, unfortunately. And it's my job. I believe what God has called me to do is to just stiffen the spines of those around me and inspire them to be courageous in whatever it is that God is calling them to do.
Yep, being bold and courageous like Caleb. Now, you've got all those kids, and am I correct that one of your daughters helps you with your videos?
Yes, my my 18-year-old daughter helps me create memes and videos. Not my you know, rant videos so much, but we put a lot of video content on the Activist Mommy Facebook page.
Right.
And that really helps you grow your following, and it helps. And, you know, we love speaking to the issues of the day, whether it's, you know, something about Caitlyn Jenner or Islam or abortion. There's so many great things that we can speak to through video content. And so, yeah, my daughter is just amazing. She gets the message. She's passionate about the message. And I love working beside her every single day. And I'm homeschooling the children. My oldest is 19. My youngest is 1. And most of the homeschooling actually takes place independently. It moves and flows on its own. I've set it up that way.
Yes.
And so they do their school, and I'm there, you know, answering their questions and able to continue to work in the ministry while we're all together at home. It's just been crazy. This whole fit movement has been so organic, Tammy. I mean, I literally have gotten 500,000 followers by using Scotch tape to attach my camera to my rear view mirror in my 15 passenger van while I rant on these subjects. So there's been nothing fancy going on here. It's just me speaking from my heart about what I believe is close to God's heart, and what in America we as Christians need to be speaking.
Yep. You note on the website, which once again is linked on the show page. People need to go there and check it out. Wait until after the show. You want to hear what Elizabeth has to say live first. But you write, the growing threat to America's children and the vicious attack on religious liberty is what dynamited Elizabeth out of her comfort zone to inspire a nation of belittled conservatives and Christians to come out of their closets and boldly take their country back. I read that and I thought, oh, this gal is a woman after my own heart. I want to roll through some of these hot topics, get your take on them. Sure. I want people to have a sense of your conviction and what you tell your kids. So let's start with the Women's March, which began last year as a protest against Trump being elected. Your thoughts on that lovely event, Elizabeth?
First of all, vagina hatters, I have to say thank you for making me famous. It's so funny that they are some of my prime haters, and they're the ones really that launched this platform. So I basically call foul on the feminist movement. This is not about the rights of women. If it were, they would be exposing Islam for being the oppressive religion that it is, but they don't. Instead, Linda Sarsour, who advocates for the most radical type of Islamic law, Sharia law, she is one of their leaders.
Yes.
I mean, she's speaking on stage and literally one of their key organizers for their events. See, I call foul on that. I call foul because if they were really for advocating for the rights of women, they'd be advocating for babies, women, females in the womb. And they are marching for the right to murder babies in the womb. Those are females too, and they need an advocate more than anyone. They're the most defenseless in our society. One third of every baby in a mother's womb dies through abortion. It is the most dangerous place to live in America as a baby, is in the mother's womb.
Wow.
And so the feminist movement is not really advocating for the rights of women. It is a movement that was created by immoral women to advocate, to celebrate their immorality, to celebrate the lesbianism and the abortions and, all types of immorality that is being advanced through this leftist Marxist agenda that is being pushed by the Women's March. And so I say they're a bunch of hypocrites, and they need to be called on it. And I'm not afraid to call them on it. And the Bible is rife with people of God who call people out for their iniquity.
Yep, absolutely true. Now, you brushed on this a little bit, but I want to ask your opinion, because I'm sure you have one, and I know you do, on the explosion of that religion that our former president seemed so enamored with, that religion of peace known as Islam.
Yeah, one of my favorite videos that I've ever done is called Religion of Peace, My Bacon Bit. And I encourage your listeners to go click on that video either on my YouTube channel or my Facebook page, because they will get to see me eat a lot of crispy bacon if they click on that video and watch it.
It's awesome. It is really
irreverent.
Awesome.
Excuse me. But irreverent to the Islamic religion. But yeah, I don't mind being irreverent about Islam, because it's a cult. It is a death cult. It is a practice that is oppressive to women, and they want to see the death of the West. And it is incompatible with freedom, with liberty, it's incompatible with the Western way of life, and it's dangerous. And they want to kill the infidels. If they really do believe the Quran, they want to kill the infidels.
Yes.
And it is in no way a religion of peace, and we are in absolute denial. If a Christian did the things that the Muslims did, our religion would be immediately decimated in the eyes of all the cultural elites and the media. And yet Islam always seems to get a pass. They seem so desperate to want to convince us, do they not, that Islam is a religion of peace when it's anything but that. So it's just all a part of the agenda to tear away at what makes America strong, and that is our Christian belief.
Yep, yep. This was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles, and when we get away from that, things go really, really badly. Now, Elizabeth Johnston, and I'm talking to the activist mommy tonight, who's just famous for her videos on their Facebook page and on the website, but let's talk about forcing Christians to create, well, whatever. So cakes, floral arrangements, anything, but in a context that goes against their faith.
Right. Well, again, the left is just rife with hypocrisy here because they want people of faith to be forced to do something against our beliefs, yet they cry, you know, bigotry and discrimination because they say that, you know, they cannot live in a way that is in accordance with their beliefs. This whole case with Jack Phillips in Colorado, I believe it is, that's
yes.
before the Supreme Court that we're waiting on a ruling on, I say this is the Roe versus Wade of religious liberty. This is crucial. We need to be in prayer for this situation. Donate to Alliance Defense Fund, who is defending Jack Phillips,
yep.
because this is critical that we as Christians, non-Christians, whatever you claim to be, are allowed. As Christians, we believe people should have the freedom to not have to create and speak and believe and think in a certain way. Christians don't hold guns to your head to make you believe a certain way. We want to convince you that, you know, Jesus Christ is the way, but we're not going to hold a gun to your head. We believe in freedom of speech. And so what is happening right now is that the radical LGBT activists are attempting to force us to think and speak in a way that goes against our conscience and to even celebrate now with them by helping them celebrate their same-sex marriages. And this is just unconscionable, Tammy.
Yep, it is. And I'm glad you mentioned that because last week I had Michael Ferris on. He's the president of ADF.
Yes.
And we were talking about Jack Phillips' case and some other things that are coming along. And Michael's going to be arguing before the Supreme Court this spring for the case of California AG, I believe, versus the pregnancy crisis centers. And that's going to be an interesting case. But this reminds me, we know why they're doing this, Elizabeth Johnston. There was a case back in about 2012 of the Hands-On Original T-shirt company in Kentucky. And you've probably heard about this. But on their website, front and center, it says Hands-On Originals, Christian Outfitters. Well, some people went to them and asked them to print T-shirts for a Pride festival. Obviously, they were mining. They were looking for a Christian organization because what they wanted to do was establish precedent. They're trying to do it in every state. It happened here in Oregon with Aaron and Melissa and Melissa's Sweet Cakes. This is what they're doing, and I'm just so glad that people like you are calling foul, that are telling the truth. We've got to tell the truth about this. And these people that they're suing, whether it's Jack Phillips served everybody and anybody over the years and did so graciously with the love of somebody that's a follower of Christ. The only time he drew the line was not because of the individual, but because of the occasion that they asked him to celebrate, which was a gay wedding. And he said that absolutely contradicts the Bible. I love you. I will. You know, you can have some cupcakes or like you say in your video, a Mother's Day cake or anything like that, but not a wedding cake for a gay wedding. That contradicts our Bible. So the
same thing with Baronelle Sussman.
Yes.
I met Baronelle, just the most loving, gentle, humble woman, not an activist.
No, a florist in Washington.
A long time business owner with her husband and a florist. And she was actually not just serving homosexuals, but actually really deeply friends with these homosexuals who ended up taking her to court. She was friends with them and served them and loved them, served them all the time, you know. But when it came to them wanting to hire her to create the floral arrangements for the celebration of their same-sex wedding, which our, you know, our Bible says is an abomination to God, she said, "I'm so sorry." And she said with tears.
Yes.
Tears. She sat in front of them and cried and explained why she was not able to help them celebrate in their same-sex wedding. And they took her to court. And everything is on the line right now for Baronell and her family and her husband that they have worked all their lives as small business owners to create. These Christians are being targeted across the country, and they're going to pick them off one by one, especially if the Supreme Court decides, you know, that they are going to side on the side of the same-sex couples. We need to stop bowing down in obeisance to the Supreme Court as if they are the supreme, you know, lawgiver. God is the supreme lawgiver, and ultimately our allegiance is to Him. And as Christians, we better fear God before we bow down in obedience to laws that are against what God's word says.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Let's talk a little bit about the barrage of sexual harassment accusations and the Me Too movement. What do you tell your daughters, Elizabeth Johnston?
Well, first, I tell them, kick them in the nuts. And, you know, if you're ever assaulted, I tell them to scream and run, and you report immediately. Some of these accusations that have been coming out are so bogus and wrong. You're ruining these men for consensual sex acts that were taking place. These women use sex in order to climb the ladder of success, in order to get a better acting position, in order to be with the production company that they wanted to be with. And now 10 years later, 20 years later, you're crying foul on this? No, that's not. It was wrong, and these men that they're working with are dirty dogs. But both the males and the females are behaving in immoral ways. You can't say that, you know, choosing to go through a sex act when there was no gun to your head, and choosing to go through it in order to benefit your career, that is sexual assault. And so I filmed a video several weeks ago on this issue, and it actually got the most views I've ever received on a video, 15 million views.
Wow.
People are sick of this movement being used by radical feminists basically to really push through to power. That's what's taking place. They are, and you've seen it. I mean, we are watching it happen with, you know, the speech that Oprah gave was a perfect example of what I was talking about, that the elite and the radical feminists are trying to push through to places of power in every sector, entertainment, media. They're trying to take over, and they are creating such discord between males and females.
It's almost an anti-man movement more than anything.
Yes. And there is a lot of male hatred, obviously, in the feminist movement today. And a lot of these women, you know, they have been abused. They have been sexually abused in their past. And because there hasn't been, you know, proper dealing with these issues internally, whether through therapy, counseling, or whatever, or through reporting and getting these people put behind bars that have abused them, that's therapeutic in and of itself. These issues continue to surface and torment these women and really affect the way they view the world. And there is very much, you know, a witch hunt, or as maybe we should call it, a warlock hunt, against the men right now in our culture. And it is all a part of the plan to just create chaos and to bring in the leftist, radical, Marxist, you know, George Soros agenda. And my most recent video that I just put out last night, I guess it was, you know, I read straight from the The Naked Communist, which exposes in 1958, that far back, point by point by point, what the communists were saying they were going to bring to America. And, I mean, it is so startling, Tammy, how successful they have been. And
yes.
You know what? I'm ready for us to be successful. I'm ready for us to push back. The last election was a start. It was
yep.
a pushback. It was an American Brexit of sorts. And we need a spiritual Brexit. We as moms and dads and Christians need to stop just bending over and taking every single thing that comes our way. No, we need to fight for our kids, for their liberty, for their future, so that 20 years from now, 15 years from now, they won't be locked up for quoting the Bible because it's hate speech.
Yes, I love it. And I have your video about the Me Too thing and sexual harassment on the show page because I want to give people a taste. But when they go to your site, they can see a whole bunch of them. They're wonderful. And I wanted to mention one thing. We've got about a minute left. I saw a sign at the Women's March, this year's Women's March, that said, "The way I dress does not mean yes." And I thought, how splendidly stupid is that? And this, and I know that you think the same way about this, Elizabeth, that we, the men have a responsibility not to be dogs, but females mm-hmm. have responsibility to dress respectfully and modestly because God wired men to respond to visual stimuli. And though they are wrong to ever assault a gal or go farther than the gal agrees to, but we have to do our part and not throw sexuality in their face. I'm sick of that.
Yeah, well, all they have to do is keep wearing these signs and these vagina hats, and I don't really need to worry about getting assaulted.
I know. That's, I think, the same thing. Oh, my goodness. The time has gone way, way, way too fast. I want to encourage
so fast.
I knew it would. We are just definitely kindred spirits, I tell you. Check out Elizabeth Johnston's website, activistmommy.com, which is linked on the show page. Share the content, video everywhere. I've got your Twitter account there. When you get to the website, you can also link to the Facebook page. You're there on Facebook. Find you everywhere. Loved having you on the show, Elizabeth. I'd love to have you on again sometime.
Thank you so much. I'd be happy to come back. God bless you, sis.
God bless you and your family. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard because you and I, we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang, a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue.